I'm on the schedule for 8 chapel addresses this school year, and I intend to present 8 statements that Jesus made to his followers. Of course, called the 8 Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. Beatitudes are statements of happiness and blessing. And in these statements, Jesus lays out kind of an attitude that he wants his followers to have. A pattern of Christian living. And if there's a word that encapsulates this attitude, it's the word different. You'll never find the word different in the Beatitudes, but the theme is there nonetheless. Jesus just simply wants his disciples to be different than the people in the rest of the world. He does not want us to blend. He wants us to be different. He wants the world to see your distinctive Christianity. He said to his followers, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." He really wants us to be different. Another example is what Paul the Apostle told the Philippians when he said, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself." And this is much different than what the world would have you do. Oh, but there's more. He said, "Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." It is 35 days until the election. Have you ever noticed how negative the campaign ads are? I mean, it used to be, not all that long ago, you know, 2 or 3 decades ago, where most political ads were actually positive. A candidate would get up and say, "Hey, I'm a family man. I work hard, and I've got a lot of answers. I got a lot of good ideas. I think you should vote for me." But nowadays, it seems like to get the best bang out of your advertisement buck, you need to plant negatives about your opponent. You're talking more about your opponent than you are about your own good traits. In fact, you kind of have to run your opponent into the ground, and you got to bury him with an avalanche of fabrications if you really want to win an election. It just seems to be the way the game is played nowadays. And it's sad that we citizens allow it. But more than allow it, it's sad to say that we actually engage in it. Even Christians feel free to talk down somebody else. And we speak poorly of each other. A lot of times it's in writing, where somebody will write something about you that they would never have the guts to say to your face. Isn't that true? You know, emails and texts and Snapchat and comments on Facebook and Twitter, these can be really great ways to communicate if used correctly, but if misused, well, it can ruin a person. But Jesus makes it clear that there's a better pattern for Christian living, and it's found in the 8 Beatitudes. And the first one is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Poor in spirit. It's not talking about a person who's down and out and down on his luck or having a bad day. It's speaking of a person who is so spiritually humble that he puts his entire trust in God. He is totally dependent on his Lord. On his own, he knows that he cannot improve his spiritual standing. And he knows it. So he relies completely on Jesus for his salvation with utter dependence. And that's when Jesus really shines through. Just like the Apostle Paul says that each of us should regard one another as more important than himself, that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He humbled himself all the way to the cross. He regarded our needs as more important than his own. He did not act out of selfishness, but with compassion for us. And with humility of mind, He put us before Himself. He went before Annas and Caiaphas and Herod and Pilate. He took the crown of thorns and the scourging and the nails to the cross. Therefore, because we are poor in spirit, because we are so utterly dependent on Jesus, because we know the kingdom of heaven is ours, it changes the way that we interact with each other. We act with consideration for each other instead of selfishness. We act with kindness and with empathy toward others. Instead of tearing each other down, we build each other up. This utter dependence is very common in the comforting Psalms, like Psalm 56. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Or Psalm 27. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. This total dependence on Jesus' saving grace is characterized well in a document written in 1776. So you're thinking of a document written in 1776. No, not that one. Not the Declaration of Independence. Something else is written in 1776. Open up your hymnals to hymn 376. Take a moment to get there quickly. And 376, and we're going to look at stanza 3 together. 376, and look at stanza 3, and you tell me, is there a stanza in the entire hymnal that has more humility and just utter dependence as stanza 3? It says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die." Let's close by singing all four stanzas.